With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
And we're going to a place where there have been alleged ghost sightings.
Yeah.
The face of Satan himself.
Oh, God.
Witchcraft and the occult. You know, it does build a certain something in your mind, no matter what lilt you're going into this with. But I definitely saw something.
I just saw another one.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. There, straight there.
What the hell?
It's really, really weird.
Yeah, it's real.
This is what I came for.
There you go.
Okay, yeah, that's really weird. That's made me feel very weird. Is it steep like this all the way?
No, so... So it goes up around this corner and it levels off a little bit, but it's quite a...
This is pretty creepy already.
Isn't it? It's so dark.
So I am recording, by the way.
Okay.
I always love to record a little bit before I tell the person I'm recording to get a little bit of off guard.
So that there, that's Frifston Vineyard.
Right.
That's just a little one that's tucked away, and then beyond that, all we've got up here is fields and horses. There's a few cows around. I mean, something that the other paranormal investigation team kept on reporting on was that they kept on hearing sounds of animals.
Well,
so, funny that.
I wonder why. Okay, so, this is like the most out of breath intro I'll ever have done. But hello, you're listening to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. This is Bob Shoy, as usual, and Beef is not here, and Tiss is not here. Unfortunately, they're not here, and what's that? It's the sound of an animal.
It's a squirrel, I think. Yeah.
So I'm with a special guest host today. I guess you are the host.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Would you like to introduce yourself to the recorder?
I am Rick Dove, a friend of Bob's.
So you may recognise Rick's voice from, if you listen to my other podcast, 5 Minute Folklore. He's like my go-to voiceover guy for voice character voices. So you may have heard him do various accents from around the world.
Apologies.
And also I played D&D with Rick. I probably mentioned on the pod a few times I played D&D. Well, I'm so sorry, I'm out of breath. We're currently walking up an old track.
It's
kind of a road at the moment.
It's listed as a road on the Ordnance Survey maps, and it's known as Roman Road. It runs from the village of Frifston through to Nettledon in Hertfordshire,
and eventually we should come to something that is known as, is it just known as the Devil's Bridge?
The official title the locals give it,
yeah,
is the Devil's Bridge on Spooky Lane.
On Spooky Lane, wow, that's
Spooky
great
Lane, yeah.
So Rick heard about this place a little while ago, a few months ago, and mentioned to me about possibly visiting it for an episode of Weird Tales, or to just talk about it for a topic. And I kind of said, well, take me there, we'll go there together. And here we are. It's steep, it's really steep. I just want to get that across. Like, we're puffing and panting because it's really steep. But, so why is it called the Devil's Bridge on Spooky Lane?
So, the Devil's Bridge moniker comes from the local folklore that if you are stood under this bridge at the stroke of midnight, you'll see the face of the devil himself. So they say.
Right.
But there's been a few other spooky sightings, hence the name Spooky Lane. It's been said that a Roman soldier has been spotted on this road, stood looking like he's guarding. And people have also seen a hooded and robed monk as a ghostly apparition strolling down this road.
Oh, right, so we could see him any time.
Any moment, you never know.
Wow, you dropped that on me. So it is the evening, it is quite dark. This isn't the middle of the day. This is an amateur hour, it's weird towns. We're strolling up here in the dark, loaded with one torch. I've got an apple, recorder. What else you need? I've got my crystals, so Thistle will be happy.
So, it's an interesting little note at this point. So this is pretty much where the road diverts down, and you can see how dark it is down there.
Yes.
Sorry, listeners.
I'll put up some pictures of the pictures you sent me the other day.
Yes.
I'll put them, because we're not really going to get any pictures tonight, it's too dark.
No.
But I'll put up some pictures of the area that Rick sent me the other day when he scouted the location. See how much more professional he is than us already.
So this farm that we stopped out here, this is the last farm on the road, and this extends some way down. The fields that belong to this farm go all the way down past the bridge. Over there, in the distance, you can see a light.
I can see a light, yeah.
So that is another large, stately home.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that makes this road really weird is that the track was altered at some point. What I was able to get out of the Decorum Heritage Society was that this road was built in medieval times, not Roman times. They can't find any official records of the date of creation, though. But they did tell me that at some point this road was altered. So it used to be just a straight track that connected the two villages.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they've told me a noble had the road sunk down. And the rumours go that it was the third Earl of Bridgewater. And allegedly, he had the road sunk and a bridge put over it so that his lady could pass over this bridge without having to interact with the peasantry.
Right,
and
get
a clear run over to Ashridge House, which is, it's now a management college, but it's a very large sort of Gothic style building.
Yep.
However, I found some contradictions to that already. So, I'll go for my notes.
Here. Lois Lane here, digging out the truth.
Well, what I can tell you. So, yeah, the report stated that the third Earl of Bridgewater, who lived from 1646 to 1701, had the road sunk so his lady could pass by the peasantry on their way to their stately home of Ashridge House. But what I managed to find out was that Ashridge House was commissioned by the seventh Earl of Bridgewater sometime after 1770.
Right.
So already we've got quite a big gap of... Well, it's going to be at least a minimum of 80 years.
Yeah.
So... I found no evidence that the third Earl of Bridgewater ever lived at Ashridge House, just because of the time it was actually converted from a monastery, which it used to be, to the stately home it is now. So it was the Ashridge House itself actually used to be a priory before it became a monastery, and that belonged to some monks known as the Bonhomes, or the Blue Monks, owing to the colour of their robes.
Hence the monkish figure.
Exactly.
Walking up and down the Roman Road.
It all ties in.
Yeah.
But apparently that priory was built in 1238, and it was used as a meeting place for Parliament once in 1290.
Mm.
Yeah. So it does have a lot of history to it, but the actual official figures for it being a stately home by one of the Earls of Bridgewater dates a lot later than the rumours they are able to find.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got that 80-year gap. So whether or not the truth about the alterations being for a lady passing over or not, I can't confirm.
Right.
There's a lot of hearsay. There's some more research I'd like to do on this, but I'm a bit stuck at the moment.
That's
waiting
fine.
For replies.
Like I say, this is more research than we normally do on Weird Tales. So you're fine. You're doing fine. We did park up near to a pub.
Yes.
When we started our walk, before we tackled that mountain. I want everyone to think it was much, much steeper than it was to get the out of breath.
1,000 feet.
At least. I don't want to look unfit.
I can see clouds.
But you said you went into that pub.
I did.
The other day.
I did, yeah. I spoke to one of the bar staff there who didn't wish to be identified, and he told me, after my asking, that apparently this road is known as Spooky Lane by the locals still.
Right.
They like to put off any inquisitive people who don't know the existence of the bridge for certain already.
So if someone comes in there and says, is there a bridge down there? They say no.
You've got is a very long and steep walk. So they actually try and discourage it. And apparently that's due to the bridge having links to the occult. Nice. I've not been able to find exact dates for it, but apparently up to about a decade ago, they were finding occult symbology and pentagrams scrawled on the inside of the bridge.
Nice.
But when I was here in the light of day last week, all I found was spray paint.
I feel like this is going to be one of them times where when Beef listens to this, he's going to really tell me off doing this.
Sorry, Beef.
Well, he's just like, go ahead, I don't care. But he says it like a disapproving parent. He's like, go on, fuck your life up.
That's fine.
Let the smoke devil crack. Like take you. Sorry, Beef, but here I am. I've got too much curiosity. You know what they said about curiosity?
Uh-oh.
Killed the cat.
Yeah. So the other things that have been sighted under and around this bridge is apparently strange red lights.
Right.
I've not been able to flesh that out anymore, other than it just being referred to as strange red lights moving.
Oh, right, okay.
Sounds of animals, allegedly, but we are right next to a farm. So, you know, it's not hard to put two and two together. Also, another local paranormal society investigated this area, mm-hmm. and one of them said she felt the sensation of strangulation or being hung. Some drops in temperature as well under the bridge itself. So we'll see what we can find.
Mm-hmm. That report's online, right?
It is, yes.
If anyone's interested in that report, I'll put a link to it on the website.
So when I was here the other day, and I was just walking up here on my own, it was a very nice, you know, sort of 2 o'clock in the afternoon, very hot day, and quite a nice stroll. And when you actually get to this track, as you'll probably see from the pictures, it's ominous. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm trying not to get myself into a mindset of woo, spooky, because I'm a skeptic myself,
right?
As you are. And I felt something. Like, when you hit it, it's a very sudden tonal shift in the path, if that makes sense. That might sound a bit pretentious.
I think the term for it is bad juju.
Yes. Lots of bad juju. But you feel it, because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, these bricks start rising next to you. And next thing you know, you're in a gully. It feels almost like a big storm drain.
Yeah.
Like, you know that scene from Terminator 2 and that big storm drain that's stuck in there?
Of course I do. Terminator 2 is my favourite film of all time.
It kind of feels like that, but like squished in, and you feel a bit stuck. But I'm trying to go into this with more of a sort of inquiring mind, and I'm not trying to get myself hyped up.
So if you go down there and see some red lights, a robed figure, and a face in the darkness, will you be happy?
I will shit my pants.
Will you question your belief system?
Yeah, probably. You'll find me crying, running, maybe.
I'm expecting us not to find that, but we'll see. I'm ever the sceptic. What I would find very interesting, because this is the same portable recorder we used for the EVP experiment.
Ah.
And I did that, and I would love to pick up some strange unidentified sounds. Because I remember on the Ouija experiment, I also used this when I was did the experiment with a couple of listeners quite a long way back. And there were some sounds on that got picked up that I don't remember hearing at the time. A lot of like a knocking noise, tapping noises.
Ooh.
So that was very interesting to me.
So you've added another feather to our cap with an EVP experiment.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I thought of that on the way up. Fantastic. I was like, oh, this is the recorder. So.
Yeah.
And this is all you need. A digital recorder like this will pick up the noises.
Should we venture forward?
Let's go for it.
Okay. So if you want me to flick the torch on at any point, let me know. But I kind of want you to experience this, and I kind of want to experience it myself in the darkness, just to feel how ominous
already I feel.
You see what I mean? You see what I mean about a shift?
It feels like, you know what this reminds me of? I'm sorry, I'm stopping before. We're going under a canopy of trees, which is quite foreboding. And it very much reminds me of, is it in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when they go into that hallway and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this feels like.
It does.
It feels like I'm going into a hallway which is just
very close,
closing around me.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Ooh. There's a chill in the air already.
Yeah, it's quite ominous, isn't it? Like, I feel a little chill through me, but yeah, like as I say, I'm trying to go into this more of a sort of inquiring mind kind of thing, and not like, oh, this is haunted, this is paranormal.
I mean, there's something to going places where you wouldn't normally go at certain times. So being here at this time of night with this lack of light is an unnatural experience for your body anyway.
Yeah.
So your body feels uncomfortable and strange, and your imagination does run wild in a situation like this.
And we're going to a place where there have been alleged ghost sightings.
Yeah.
The face of Satan himself.
Oh, God.
Witchcraft and the occult. You know, it does build a certain something in your mind, no matter what lilt you're going into this with.
I mean, this just looks like we're walking into a wall of blackness. A wall
this
of just black.
Utterly dark. I can't see a thing down there. Yeah, so this was one of the points where I was going to park. This was like the cutoff point before we actually hit.
Oh, my God.
You see that? Yeah. So you see there, just to the right?
Yeah.
That's where the stones start.
Okay.
And this is where the road was sunk down by allegedly by the 3rd or 7th Earl of Bridgewater.
Yeah. I mean, this is ominous. Yeah, this is what I came for. And I'm not a fear junkie like Rev Pete Laws, who you heard on the last episode of Weird Tales. But I feel like this would be right up his street.
I can barely see a thing.
Oh, God.
This is so dark. Really, I can't see anything.
No, me neither. Like,
shall I use the torch?
I'm not wearing my glasses either.
Shall I put the torch on?
Yeah, I would for now. Whoa, that...
You see what I mean?
That was a shock. The light coming on wasn't even like what I expected to see.
Yeah. So
feels like we're going underground.
It does. Like, because you've got that canopy of trees as well.
Yeah.
So you've got this sort of flint wall either side of us, which allegedly dates back to the 1700s. And then it sort of transitions into this brick wall. So I don't know what the difference is between the two styles here, but it might have been just how it was built. But you see, look, even with this very bright LED torch, you can just see down
to
the end.
It's dark. You can't see that far in front of you.
And it's almost misty as well. And this is a hot day. This has been, 28 degrees today?
Yeah, it's been a hot one.
And even now, it's probably about 24.
Oh, wow. Look at the size of these banks inside.
This is huge. So just for some perspective, to our left, that's probably, 3 metres? 4?
Yeah, like, I would say about 3.5
metres.
And then
up here, what? 5?
Four and a half, five. Yeah, maybe 5.5. That is tall.
And there it is.
Oh, wow, okay.
That is the Devil's Bridge.
It's ominous looking, to say the least.
It jumps out at you, it really does. Just because the torchlight
catches
it. I
can't believe that we're going down, down, down.
Yeah.
Wow, look behind us.
That's creepy. That's very
creepy. I mean, anytime I'm going down, 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 I don't know how familiar you are with Silent Hill 2.
Very.
But it's like one of my favourite games of all time. And the point with that game, it almost gets unbearably claustrophobic. And I do suffer from claustrophobia anyway, is the bit where you're going down, down. You're constantly just, you're like, geez, am I still going down here? This is that, giving me that feeling of like, are we still going down?
But check this out, right?
Yeah.
Light off. You can't even see it. Like, you can see a slight darkness up ahead.
Yeah. Shh, shh. Wow.
A lot of sounds of animal movement. Sounds like squirrels.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know there's like horses and cows in some of the neighbouring fields, so we might very well hear something.
I mean, that is quiet, but like unsettlingly, like
it
just
is.
Just the light rustles. Oh, I've got to chill then as well. Wow, this is creepy. Yeah.
This is really weird.
This is one of the creepiest locations I think I've been.
As I say, even during the day, like to me, it felt ominous.
Yes.
But it's a well-used track. It's walked quite a lot. It's quite a popular path. There's pubs at either end, so you know, it's used well. It's a horse path as well.
Easy. I don't want to carry you back.
That's all right. Satan can do that.
So this is the bridge itself.
This is, yeah. So I don't think we've got any way of getting up there because that is on farmland, the actual crossing.
Right, okay.
Another rumour about this bridge is that it was built as part of a land dispute. So apparently there was two farmers in the area and the rumours say that they didn't know where their land was demarked. So they came to an agreement with some solicitors and this was the point. So they ran this path through here and put the bridge there so they could still move between each other's lands. But it was the demarcation point, but I've been able to find very little evidence on that.
Okay.
But yeah, this is it. And this is allegedly where we'll see the devil.
I mean, it's definitely chilly down here. It's definitely much colder than it was above. I know we're further down.
So what we got? Just lots of spray paint.
What's that? light down the bottom? Does that go out to another track?
Yeah, so that's probably the end of the road down in Nettledon.
Just to the listeners to clarify what Rick just did when I went, oh, that's when he turned the torch off without warning me. And yeah, I'm in the middle of the underneath of the bridge.
So yeah, that down there is the very edge of the path it comes out of Nettledon. So that's just a little bit of street light down there.
Right, okay.
So yeah, and it's nothing really of note under here. There's no occult symbology like I was told there has been in the past. Just standard spray paint. Some dude called James.
Does that say Rick?
You know what? I saw that the other day and I was like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah,
but I think it's someone's wrote CK and there's an R, looks like a bit of an I. So yeah, that did creep me out the first time I come here, but I spent a moment and actually checked that out myself. But it's like another little thing that the listeners won't see is this like creeping ivy that's coming down off of the bridge, which just adds an extra layer of like old creepiness to it. Horrible.
And that slight breeze that you're getting down here that you're not getting above because we are lower.
Yeah.
You're getting that like that the rustle of leaves, the slight blowing of breeze. I mean, it's a very still warm day, like Rick said, but this is the first time I've had any breeze all day, and you're getting a slight like blowing of leaves and stuff, and it just adds to the atmosphere.
So I've not actually been on this side of the bridge and had a look at it. So the walls here seem to be a lot lower. They seem to have
sort of
crumbled over time a bit, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's pretty unremarkable, but it's an interesting construction to find in the middle of essentially a country path.
Yeah.
It's very odd. I mean, this is sturdy. This is a proper red brick construction. Effort went into this.
Yeah.
And how long would you say that tunnel is? What, 10, 15 metres?
I would say a bit more.
I know a petrol garage is 13 metres high, so actually, yeah, probably more.
Yeah, it's a bit more than that. It might be coming up to like 30 metres.
It's quite long. And it's this weird sort of whitewash inside of it as well, which makes it that little bit more bizarre. But yeah, these are just little minor details.
Yeah. Well, we're setting the scene because the listeners, I'm trying to create an image in their mind.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll snap a picture with my phone.
It's just a black image.
It is pitch black. I can't
see. Oh, you got it with a flash?
I'm stood in front of this bridge now. I can't see anything. But yes, no. I'm gonna flash it.
This is a weird, horrible face. Gonna come.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. Oh, that looks horrible.
Yeah, that looks like a Silent Hill setting.
So I'll take a picture down the path as well, just so they've got that for reference.
Yeah.
And we'll do one on the way out as well. That's terrifying.
Wow. So this is definitely a very unsettling location. And I can understand why people coming down here in the dead of night would feel uncomfortable, feel like they're seeing things, feel like they're hearing things. See, I'm hearing like, you know, leaves falling, animals scuttling in the trees. But I'm very level-headed, so you come down here with a very active imagination, then noises are going to play on you.
It definitely does. I mean, even on our way down here, I was getting little chills.
Yeah, definitely. Because you're going lower and lower and lower. You're getting the colder breeze.
Yeah.
And then your body is sort of getting a chill from that more so because you've got like a apprehensive feeling in you.
I think the whole thing feels very enclosed. Like everything about this, there is no way out for like, well, I wouldn't even estimate. I'm useless for distance as we've just discussed. Like this whole track for the last sort of like 5 minutes we've been walking and talking, this is enclosed.
Yeah.
So this is horrible. Weird
prickly feeling on my arm then. Because as I said, I have restrictive claustrophobia. When you say no exit, that's when I'm like, calm down.
There is no way out. It's very bizarre and a very weird slug.
Oh, what is that?
What's that?
Nothing, just sound like a noise from like literally here.
I didn't catch that.
Maybe the recorder did.
I hope so.
I think it was literally just like a leaf blowing.
So you do hear standard things like dogs barking in the distance, but as I say,
I'm hearing animal noises
down there.
I tell you what, I am going to stand right underneath that tunnel and just stand in silence for a moment and see if anything pops up on the recorder.
Okay, do you want me to kill the light?
Why not? Just for added atmosphere. Yeah. All right, so I'm right now. We're stood dead in the middle of the bridge.
I'm stood about a metre away from Bob.
Yeah, it's...
I can't even see him.
It is absolutely pitch black. and I'm just going to hold in silence for a short while and see if we can hear anything. I can hear a dog barking. So, okay. Creepy, isn't it?
There, but
yeah, I know. I was just thinking, like, well, what if Rick never spoke again and, like, I didn't, he disappeared.
Let's say, like, Rick?
I was like, Rick, turn the light on. Rick? And you're gone, and no one ever saw you again. Imagine.
Oh, God, don't.
It's
horrible.
I mean, I don't know how long I was quiet for there, but it felt a long time. It felt creepy.
It's the little sounds like stuff like squirrels,
yeah,
chanting. Oh, there's a car down there.
It's turning, that's right. That's just the end of the path.
Okay, so we're not too far from the village then. It's closer than I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah.
This is weird. I can see why legends have grown around this, and I can
definitely.
Why, like, the occult might want to use somewhere like this. It does feel like a very ominous place.
It's great. I mean, if you're gonna do it, if you're gonna hold some sort of satanic ritual or ceremony,
this is
the place you want.
It.
It's low, it's dark, it's cold. It's oppressive anyway in its atmosphere.
I notice I keep shining the torch up there, and
yeah,
in my mind I'm expecting something.
Yeah, it looked. Have you got a picture like facing up there?
No, I was going to take one on the way out.
Because that is a. That
I'll
is
one during the day, but yeah, come
a
on.
A creepy looking track.
I'll see what the camera can actually pick up. It probably won't get too far. Oh, I got nothing. Look at that.
Wow.
That's how
I mean, it's
it
an good example of like how enclosed and dark this track is. So, yeah, you all know this. There's always a website post or a blog post for every episode. If you go on the website, you're going to see all the pictures we're taking on this little excursion. Kind of enjoying this though. Like, I want to do a few more Bob Shroy investigates late night walks into like unknown territory.
Late night terror with Bob Shroy.
Yeah, exactly. Almost sounds like a pitch for a TV show.
I think that one of the things that makes this particularly creepy is the sounds of the squirrels. I'm assuming
yeah,
the squirrels I can hear, because it sounds like almost like screaming.
It's like little screams, yeah, yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, you can tell it's very animalistic. So,
yeah.
But it's unsettling. And then stuff like the leaves rolling down the track as well with the wind.
Well, because it's so quiet and still and dark, you're not used to really hearing the noise of like squirrels in the night.
I'm trying to get my eyes to adjust to the darkness a little
bit.
It's
not happening. It's not happening. Like, I still can't see you.
No, I can just about see the shape of your t-shirt. Just
yeah,
it's
or I'm wearing
t-shirt.
A white t-shirt.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm wearing a white Rubs t-shirt available on our website. You follow the merch button.
A plug.
Such high quality as well.
I'll just see that car. I saw the red light and instantly went to the you see red light. So allegedly,
oh, yeah,
they say that you see the red lights in the surrounding bushes. So,
oh, okay.
So what's up here? As I say, I don't know.
It's not
about
airplanes flying over, is it?
I did wonder that myself, because this is part of the Luton Airport flight path. So it could easily be, but because there's nothing actually reported about it, I'm assuming like what, little pinpricks of light?
Mm-hmm. And that's up in the canopy of trees above us, right?
Yeah. Do you want me to snap a picture of that as well?
Sure.
Just for creepy purposes.
Yeah, these pictures are great, by the way. Like, go and have a look at these. I want you to give some idea of where we stood.
And I do not believe in any sort of God, but if I was left here on my own for a night and couldn't leave, this is probably where
oh,
I would find him.
Yeah, forget it.
I'd
oh,
give you
God, the
everything
thought of...
Available.
Again, going back to the interview we did last week with Peter Laws, and he talked about, you know, he said, like, if you go somewhere with people and it's haunted, it's you're very bold, it's very interesting and fun, and you sort of look around. When suddenly everyone goes and you're left there on your own, it's not so fun.
Yeah.
And that's when you start thinking, oh, God, what if I see something now? There's no one here to say they see it too, so are you going mad? There's no one there to say... They don't see it, so you think, oh, it's just a trick of the light.
If I was here on my own right now, I would be terrified. I would be running towards that light source down in that village.
And
that,
the thing
that's
is,
how ominous this is.
And when you're running and scared, that's when you're going to mind the upper tricks on you even more, so you can see how panic and fear really does set in. I mean, a night under here in a sleeping bag
oh,
on your own?
I was just thinking about it myself, yeah. Couldn't do it. I couldn't.
I couldn't. I don't know how long it lasts. Like, literally... a couple of minutes. Like I mean, like we said, when we stood on the bridge just then, in the silence, in the dark, it was very uncomfortable, but only bearable because I know there's someone standing a meter away from me. So if I was doing that on my own, like, forget it. Because if I hear something when I'm on my own, I'm gonna start questioning my sanity, and that's when things get really scary.
Hey, if one of your listeners is feeling flush and wants to stomp up 10 grand for us to do that, I'll happily give it a go. I don't think I'd last a night, but hey.
10 grand for a night here.
There you go.
Yeah. God, it'd be fucking horrible though, wouldn't it?
But no lights.
Oh, God. It would be so horrible. No light, you can't read or nothing. No phone, no technology, no contact.
Yeah, nothing.
Oh, that is horrific.
I can't still.
Because your brain would just be like working overtime.
Oh, massively. Massively.
And I wouldn't be able to sleep. Because the idea is like you'd lay down, forget about it, try and get some kip. You're laying there with your eyes shut. You're like, am I eyes shut? Are they not? When it's like so dark. When it's late in this, when you're talking at 1 o'clock in the morning. Pitch black.
I mean, like we've been stood in darkness for what, about 5 minutes now?
Yeah.
And I can only just make out features on your face where some moonlight is creeping through. I can just see like a slight reflection off your forehead.
Yeah, I can see the outline of your shoulders and head and nothing else.
It's kind of hard to explain just how dark a place is without actually having seen it yourself. I'm hoping the pictures are actually going to add some gravity to it.
Yeah.
Because, this is unexplainable. Yeah, I don't see Satan yet.
No.
Definitely not here. I'm disappointed.
This is when he's just like, who's me?
Hello.
You looking for someone?
Ah.
So no lights. No monks.
No.
No, the devil himself.
No.
But definitely a very creepy and oppressive atmosphere.
I was hoping for a bit more, but yeah, the atmosphere alone, I felt it during the day. And mm-hmm. there were people walking up the path I said hello to on the way through. And, you know,
all right.
Perfectly jovial, cordial, British sort of country walk. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even then it felt kind of creepy when you're walking down here. But
see, I can.
This is the next level.
Already in the darkness, when I'm starting.
I just saw a red light. Seriously, I just saw a red light. Just a little flicker. It wasn't a car, it was higher up. Where I'm stood now, I can't even see the light down from the road. It was up towards those trees. It was literally on off, like a little LED pinprick down that way. Could have possibly been a plane, but I definitely saw something. Yeah, so now I can see the road, and that's where the red lights were. This was like up there. It was literally for a split second, a little pinprick, like up there, and there is no way.
Right. Okay.
Anything's like a plane wouldn't be able to see through that. I definitely saw something.
Okay.
100%. I don't know if it was my eyes playing tricks. It could very well have been, but...
It's really funny, because I was about to say, when you said, I just saw something, I said, it's very easy. Now you're starting to get a little bit of light in. I can imagine my eyes playing tricks. I can imagine it now, because they're almost like... You know how your brain tries to make shape out of something?
Yeah.
I was like, I can always imagine like seeing a face, my brain making a face out of the darkness and the swirls and stuff.
So, I mean, looking at that, there is light coming through, definitely, now that we're closer. It potentially was a plane that I saw. I can hear a plane in the distance. I couldn't say exactly where it was, but I mean those lights flash, don't they, on planes? So yeah. The timing would have to be quite specific. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't want to write it off, but I definitely saw a little something.
Well, at least you gave me a really great sound clip for the start of the episode. I saw something. I definitely saw something. Deep, 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 deep. That's what I live for. I live for listening out for the sound clips.
They're going to be so disappointed.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what's so fun about it.
He saw a plane.
Well, hang on a second. When I did the EVP recording, I used the clip at the beginning of my cousin saying I definitely heard something.
Oh, okay.
And that turned out to be an aeroplane flying overhead. So the plane strike again, possibly.
I kind of hope it is. I kind of want to just... observe there for a little bit to see if I can see any sort of plane lights, because this is a very well used flight path. It does sound quite quiet tonight. I saw a little flash just directly up there just then.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I did. Oh shit, I did. Oh wow, how weird. I just did.
What colour was it?
I saw an orangey white. Red. and it was like there.
Interesting.
Directly up there.
I saw like a sort of orangey white to me.
Yeah, I did just see a red light. That is so weird.
There is no aeroplane overhead.
Oh, now I got a chill because I definitely, and you know how sceptical I am,
yeah,
just saw a red light there.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm not alone. There we go. Something odd.
Hoo-hoo.
There you go.
Okay, yeah, that's really weird. That's made me feel very weird.
And I can hear a plane like, you know, when in the distance.
Oh, I feel like a really weird feeling just came over me. I don't know what that was.
Oh.
Okay. that was really horrible. Okay. I swear I just saw it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Straight that way this time.
That's about where I saw the initial red light, yeah.
Okay.
I'm getting chills now.
Yeah, me too.
The hairs of my arms are standing.
Yeah, me
now.
Too. I mean, I'm sort of getting a bit speechless because I was on the track of saying something before that sort of strange feeling came over me. Where was I?
There's nothing around here for anything to reflect off. This is pure tree canopy as well.
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts, by the way, my legs are now starting to get a bit prickly.
Another picture of this as well.
I just saw another one.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. There, straight there.
What the hell?
It's really, really weird.
There's no hills up that way. That is pure sky.
Yeah, it's directly up. Oh my God. I've seen like four of these lights.
I just saw another one.
Oh God.
I'm looking for planes, but there's nothing. There is nothing.
When you were talking and you said you saw one.
Yeah.
This is what I was saying, by the way, when I got that weird feeling. I was looking intently, like, where was he seeing it? Where was he seeing it? And then I sort of gave up. And then I started talking to you casually again. And when I stopped looking for it, it appeared.
That's so weird.
I can't believe I've seen, like, this flashing light four times in sort of four roughly different places.
Yeah, and in such quick succession as well. And that, you know, that wouldn't be planes.
And it's not that. Putting the light on the recorder. We've got a red light.
It's
not
definitely
that.
No, we're seeing this clearly in the trees.
Oh, it's a...
It's so, just to explain this as well.
I can't believe that that I witnessed this weird phenomenon that people are saying they see here.
Yeah, it's real. And just to give the listeners some perspective, it's not a bright red light. It's like a pinprick, almost like an LED flash.
Yeah.
But it's very quick, like on-off. And can you hear that?
I saw a white... You know, you said you saw a white one?
No, I missed that, no.
You said you saw a white one earlier?
Oh, sorry. Yes, yeah. I did, yeah.
I just saw a white one.
Again?
Yeah. Wow. I just want to clarify this again and again. I'm not someone to get carried away in these things or get wrapped up in these things. Or see things when other people are. I'm normally being like, oh, I don't know what I saw. But yeah, I don't know what it is. It might be a plane. It seems like it's a lot of fucking planes if it's a plane every time.
I can't hear one.
But I can't hear one. It's directly above us. And I've now seen probably five different red lights in five different places and one white light.
And the canopy here is extremely thick.
I don't know what to make of that. I really don't. And also, as you would have heard about roughly 2 or 3 minutes ago, after seeing the second one, I was talking, I came across a very uncomfortable and unsettling feeling. Wow. I don't know what to say. This is very, very strange.
I don't know what to make of this. I don't feel scared.
No, I just feel so curious. And like, my body's scared. My body's doing all the hair standing up, the chill things. But my brain is just like, so, what's happening here?
Up that way. God, that was a white one.
It's so surreal. It is so odd.
So, the only other thing that I was just thinking this could possibly be is... You all right?
Yeah. No, sorry, I just tripped. There's a massive rock here. I just stood up.
He's like, fucking hell.
Fainting.
Yeah, so the only other thing I think that could possibly be would be something like glowworms or torch bugs, American listeners might call them. Now, I know we do have them in this area. They tend to appear more around sort of September, August time, and it's more down by the sort of canal area where it's wetter.
They fly up that high? I've never actually seen one.
I've never seen them up high. I've only ever seen them about a metre or two off of grassland.
Yeah.
Because
it's quite a tall canopy.
Yeah.
But then the banks are quite tall. So if they're above that, I don't know. Yeah, possibly.
But the only colours I've ever seen of torch bugs in Hertfordshire has been a sort of greeny
mm-hmm. glow colour. I've never seen a red and a white, and normally they I've seen them more in swarms or a collection of them. I've never seen it where it's just one. You know, especially so interdispersed in different areas as well, because we're seeing quite a difference. It's on the left side of this gully and on the right side, quite high up as well.
Yeah.
And this is, from where we stood, the gully's probably, we estimate, 4 to 5 metres high, and then those trees are probably another, what,
it's another
10?
Few, yeah, yeah. And the lights, they're sort of in the middle of the tree growth.
This is odd. It's really odd. So still. Apart from the odd crack of a branch.
Yeah, I don't like the crack noise.
No, it sounds like someone's coming.
Approaching, yeah.
Yeah. I just saw another one. That was up there. That was another orangey white light.
Wow.
Okay, well, we found something of interest at least.
Yeah.
It's bizarre, but...
Well, let's begin our return.
Don't fancy sticking around for midnight and seeing Satan then.
Well, that would involve us staying here for like under the bridge for another hour. Yeah, I don't fancy staying here for another hour.
No.
So it's now 11 p.m.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll back it up.
Take one more flash picture in here.
Okay.
I'll be in it.
Shit, who's that behind you?
I'm
joking.
God, I didn't even consider that. If you looked at that picture and there was someone standing behind me, oh my God, like, end of my life. Whoops.
That was weird. That's probably our mind just played tricks on us.
That's probably like a stone falling or something. But yeah. Something just like landed on the path in front of us.
Right next to us.
Yeah.
That's quite unnerving.
So I'm going to take one last look back at the bridge now. We're on the other side of it. There we go.
It's horrible, isn't it? I was hoping I might see something in one of the pictures, like catch on the lights maybe, but...
Mm. See, now my eyes are playing tricks on me, because I'm like, did I just see something? Did I just see something? My eyes are playing tricks on me now. You stand under a haunted bridge for so long, your eyes start going mad. That's the old saying goes. Well, are you glad you did the little late night visit?
Definitely. That's very interesting, yeah. I wasn't expecting to see anything. I was expecting just to stand under a slightly chilly bridge in the middle of nowhere and see nothing. But that caught me by surprise. Because it was about to wrap up as well. I've never seen anything quite like that.
The annoying thing about that is, like, suddenly, like, seeing something you're about to wrap up is such a trope of, like, faked paranormal TV shows.
I know, yeah.
So that's why I kept trying to put forward... Guys, after like 100 plus episodes, you know me. I say is what I see. I mean, if I was going to fake something, I would have tried to make the EVP episode more interesting. I see now I'm getting the shadows moving along the wall as you pass.
Yeah, it's creepy.
And that's creeping me. It's not necessarily creeping me out, it's just like my eyes are seeing movement, but they're not expecting to.
Does it feel warmer to you up there?
Definitely. Definitely 100% warmer.
So, we've just left the little gully, and as soon as we've still got a little bit next to the side of us, but as soon as we've just got out of it, it's got so much warmer.
As soon as we stepped out of it, just like warmth.
A big difference.
It's like when you walk into a shop when it's got heating on and it's freezing outside.
That's an interesting little place, a little hidden creepy gem.
So these are the things I didn't expect to be doing with my life.
Do you feel fulfilled?
It's definitely interesting. Like when I'm at work and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to some like satanic bridge tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Avoid the creepy guy. But it's something a bit different. It is very interesting. It's the sort of stuff that I've always had an interest in. Like, as I say, I don't believe in the paranormal, but...
It's still interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. There's hundreds of reports from around the world and people seeing all sorts of interesting things. And I mean, we've technically just verified something that the other paranormal team saw.
Yeah, and it's something like that. I don't necessarily... My interest in you guys, I don't feel scared. my natural reaction is to feel scared because you're witnessing something you can't explain. So that is instantly scary. And so a lot of people would instantly go to, oh, it's a ghost, it's whatever, because they're the things we jump to.
Yeah.
Me not having really a belief in that sort of thing, it just leads me to, my body goes under the like fear mode, because what's that? My brain is finding interest in, I wonder what that is. That's something that someone said. Yeah. And then I saw it. What sort of anomaly in nature or in the world or whatever is causing this place to make people see that?
Yeah.
And that's very interesting to me.
I think there's a couple of types of people. There's the sort of people you see on a lot of these paranormal shows where they all G each other up and they start freaking out and screaming. And then there's the more inquiring minds who you know, like you said, I felt chills, I felt tingles, I felt like this oppressive atmosphere, but my brain as well is going, what could that be?
Yeah, I don't think it's a ghost. I'm saying whatever people have said this, like I said, what anomaly has caused that to happen to everyone in this place? And I can imagine like seeing the outline of a figure or something walking down there. I can imagine like my eyes making a face in the darkness in that place.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, and the amount of times I've done that as well. Like it's like when you see a coat in the darkness when you go to get some water.
Oh God, like, I hate it. Yeah.
And pareidolia as well, like the human ability to see faces in the slightest of things.
Exactly.
And I remember one time where, you're probably not going to put this in, but I was about 21 years old. I'd got back from a night out and I decided I was going to go smoke a joint by myself in the field behind my parents' house.
You don't know we talk about Tiss taking acid on the show, like, I'll only take this out if you want me to.
That's all right. I don't think any future employers are going to be listening to this. Right. But I stood at the top end of this farmer's field, and one side, it was just miles of farmer's field, the other side is a housing estate. I walked there, I lit up, I took about three drags, I looked up towards the light, I saw the outline of what looked like a fucking angel. Mm-hmm. I shit myself for some reason and just ran, and I don't know why. Still to this day, I don't know why I ran.
Yeah.
And
because your instant reaction is...
fight or flight.
Scary, yeah. This is scary.
I chose flight. I legged it. I was terrified.
But most people would.
But then the next night, I went back there, I had a look, I saw the exact same place I'd stood, it was just the way the trees formed, and the way a street light shone through it, and there it looked like the silhouette of an angel.
There you go.
It's just like, huh, there it is. But it's
that. So that had a simple answer.
Yeah.
And a lot of people wouldn't have gone back to like clarify that, they would have been like, I saw this. This shapes who I am now because I saw it and I believe it.
And that's the difference, yeah. I think you've got to be inquiring about these things, because if you just accept the, oh, it's spooky, oh, it's paranormal, then you've not really done the due diligence.
Yes.
You need to be able to approach these things and try to find out what they are.
And trust me, I want to find things I can't explain. Yeah. I do a podcast that literally has the word unexplainable in it. Yeah, I want to find strange things I can't explain. That is so interesting to me. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to instantly like let my brain fill in the blanks of what it is. I want to know what it is.
Yeah,
that can't always be done. And you know, you said the fight or flight thing. Mm. I think most people are a flight. They see something they don't know, they see something that scares them and they run.
Yeah.
They close their eyes, they believe it was something their brain lets them believe, or they don't want to think about it forever. And I would probably class myself as that. I would have. I feel like doing the show, like I've said on the show, I'm not scared of as many things because I've had to like look into so much now. I would say now I've tried to become and probably am more of a like, not fight, I'm not going to fight the devil if he appears, but more inquisitive. I'll hang around in a place which will make people feel uncomfortable.
I think as you should explore. As well. Yeah, and you should do that. It's very easy to see something once and then just go, it was that.
Yes.
And then walk away. Like the amount of people who see like UFOs and things that can be explained by balloons and blimps and like experimental aircraft, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's very easy to go, that was a UFO. But yeah, if you explore and look into it, you can find out more information.
And also, a lot of people don't want to have their faith tested. If they saw a UFO, they think it's awesome they saw a UFO.
Mm-hmm.
If they find out the real thing of what it is, suddenly they didn't see a UFO. So they'd much rather not do the research and be like, I saw a UFO, how cool is that?
Yeah, you've just lost the cool story.
Yeah.
I saw a balloon. Oh, now, thanks for coming out for that, though, man. That was very interesting.
It was fun. Thanks for doing the research, finding out about it.
No, that was cool. It was good.
So we're approaching now back where the car was, or is still, I hope. And that's it. That's all we got.
Yeah, that's all she wrote.
So, The usual guff, because I can't bother to record this at home. It's you can contact us unexplainableuk@mail.com. You can go on the website and check out blog posts for every web episode, including all the pictures we took on this one. That's weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com, where you can also find links to all our social media places. You know, where are we? Twitter, Facebook, blah blah blah, all that stuff. Find links to that. You find links to the merch store. You can find links to donate to us to support the show. And I think that's it. That's it, isn't it?
That's it.
Rick, is there anything you want to add before I wrap this up? We lean on your car.
Stay inquisitive. Think about these things. Right? Don't just accept what you see. Mm-hmm. We'll always inquire. Be scientific about things. Don't just go, oh, it's a ghosting. That's pretty much all I got.
Fair enough.
I think Satan just locked my car.
So, until next time. I don't know.
I've got nothing, man.
Yeah.
This is your arena.
Don't walk your dog near the fucking bridge. So that's a callback to long-term listeners. See you later. Adios. Okay.
I'm getting chills now.
Yeah, me too. This is...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.